So just a few announcements this morning. On Wednesday night, the Bible study group will be meeting, and Wednesday, this is November 29th at 7 p.m. We're continuing our study on people in the Bible and what we can learn from them. So this week, we're going to be looking at Josiah. And there are some handout sheets on the back podium for you. Even if you're not able to come to the study, if you wanted to take one and read through the scripture and answer the questions, feel free to help yourself to one of the handouts. But please come if you're able to attend. It's a rich time together as we study God's Word and people and learn the lessons that we need to apply to our own lives. Continue to pray for God's leading in the search for a pastor. We need to keep this as a priority on our prayers. And there are some Advent books available on the podium at the back. They were by John Piper. And if you'd like to have a daily reading to prepare your heart for Christmas, feel free to help yourself to one of those. The next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, so we will be having our Advent wreath and our Advent candles. So if you have an interest in participating with the readings, please speak to me following the service. Our speaker for the next week will be Reverend Stan Mantle, as it's a communion Sunday as well. And our speaker today is our own Sneha, so we're so happy to have her speaking this morning. So we look forward to the message and the scripture from her in a little bit. At this point, let us just go to God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you that we can meet here together, that we can come as a church family and lift our concerns and our prayers to you at this time. Lord, we thank you that you have been faithful in providing for us and keeping these doors open and through all of the difficulties with COVID and with the search for a pastor. You've had candidates that we've looked at, Lord, and we've known that the fit wasn't right, or you've orchestrated the circumstances, Lord, that it didn't work out. So we know that you have a plan, and that you are going to provide the pastor for us. in your timing and when it's the right person for our church family. So Lord, we just pray for this concern for our church family. We pray that you'll make it abundantly clear on who you want leading our congregation here in this place. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be partner with the Exchange Church and have the barbecue a few weeks back. Lord, we just thank you for the impact to the children from Marlboro School and their families. And Lord, we just thank you that that you've provided that opportunity, and we look forward to other opportunities that we will have to do outreach for you. We thank you for the two homes that we delivered food from, our food bank yesterday, Lord, and we just pray for the individuals that they not only need physical food that we can help with, but they also need spiritual food. And Lord, we just pray that not only will they be fed, but that they will read the daily bread that we include with the food, and that they will see you and come to a saving knowledge of you. So Lord, we just pray that this outreach is not only physical, but it's spiritual as well. Lord, I just thank you for your provision with preachers that are so willing to preach your word each week. And Lord, I just thank you for Sneha this morning and the message that you've laid on her heart. Lord, I just pray that you'll give her the strength as she brings your word and preaches it today. Lord, we just know that the message that you've given is from you and it's from your word. And Lord, we just thank you that it has a message for each one of us. And if we listen with spiritual ears, Lord, we can hear the message that you want us to individually apply to each one of us this morning. So just help us to be attentive and hear your word speak to us this morning. Lord, I just thank you for this community that we're in. And Lord, I just pray for revival within our city. And Lord, we just pray for other churches that are meeting this morning that are worshiping you. And whether they're large churches or small ones, we just pray that your spirit is present, that people are drawn to you, Lord. And if there's people in the pews and in any of the churches that are worshiping this morning that are Bible-believing churches, Lord, I just pray that your word will be a sword that cuts to the heart and draws people to yourself. Lord, we just know that in our world today, there's no greater need than people to see you and accept you and have faith in you. Lord, the signs are around us. There's turmoil in our world, and that's what is in Revelation, that there's so many things that will happen before you return. And we look forward so much to your return, but Lord, we also pray for all the fighting and the wars and the turmoil and the persecution. And Lord, you know what's happening better than we do. And Lord, we just place this at your feet and just ask for your intervention in our world and bring faith and bring revival and help people to see their need for you in their lives. Lord, it's so important at this time. As we continue in this service, Lord, I just thank you again for your word, for the message that we're about to hear. And Lord, I just thank you for each person here that's here to worship and meet you face to face this morning. May your spirit be felt, and may your word be an impact that can help us to be more committed and more bold about speaking out for you when we leave this place after this time together. I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm thanking God for this wonderful and beautiful opportunity he has provided me once again. And with that, I would also like to thank each one of you for your love, your prayer, and your support. And all the members of the committee for allowing me to stand here to preach from the Word of God. I am here, it doesn't mean I am here, standing again. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. And as Paul says that I'm chief among all sinners. I keep on sinning. And God in his grace, he keeps on showing his grace and mercy towards me. And I'm here to tell you that how awesome and great God whom we serve. And this is a really privilege for me to stand here with the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, nothing good in me, Father. I come to your grace of throne. Hide me behind your cross and speak through me. You teach each one of us, Father, and help us to take the right decision this morning. To follow you, to submit our lives to you. Let your Holy Spirit guide to each one of us, Father, that which way we should go. And how we will follow you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1991, I had the privilege to attending a blind seminar, which was arranged by our own church. I was in India, and our church has organized this blind seminar. And I was so interested to know that how God is working in blind people's life. You know, many times we say that the blind people, what they can do. And it was like out of interest I went and I attended that seminar. And I was so excited to see them, the way they were worshiping, the way they were praising to God. And when they stood up and said the testimony about what God has done in their lives and how God has led them. Though they were blind, they could not see. But the zeal they had to do something for God and the passion they had that whatever way they want to do something for God. And it touched my heart. It really touched my heart. And God's Spirit started working in me. And it was that day I submitted my life to God. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And it was my, like, I was in my teenage at that time. And it was like, it was my first love. I was so excited, so enthusiastic that I will share this to many people, whomever I come across. I will share this good news to them, that what God has done in my life. And I was so joyful, so happy. And I had many friends, my classmates and all. And I started sharing with them that, I went to blind seminar and God spoke to me. And I was like, I learned so much and this. And I was thinking that their faces will be so happy. They will rejoice with me. But in reality, their faces were down. They were sad. And I started thinking, what's wrong in me? I'm sharing the good news to them and they are not showing any happiness or any joy. It is not there on their faces. And they said to me, I still remember those words, that this is one life and life is very short. If we will be saying God, 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 and we will do whatever he likes to do, then when we will do for ourselves, when we will get time to please ourselves, to have fun, to have these all pleasures of worldly things. And I started thinking, and not only those my friends, teenage friends, but there were many people, many believers, even they said to me that it is good to believe in God, but too much godliness is not good. I started thinking that, is it really bad to accept Jesus as personal Savior? I don't know. I had that moment. I wanted to choose that time. That should I go with my friends? Because if I go with them, then I'm leaving the call from God. I'm just rejecting the call of God. And if I leave my friends and I accept God as my personal Savior, many friends and family would have left me alone. It was my moment in the past. You might have your moment in the past. And right now, we have our moment to decide that which way we should go. And this morning, the title of my message is, what are we going to choose, narrow way or broad way? And the passage what I have chose, it is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. Please turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. It says that, enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is wide that leads to hell, and many people enter through that gate. But the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to true life. Only a few people find that road. Be careful of false prophets. They come to you looking gentle like sheep, but they are really dangerous like wolves. You will know these people by what they do. Grapes don't come from thorn bushes, and figs don't come from thorny weeds. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In the same way, you will know these false prophets by what they do. Not all those who say that I am their Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On the last day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, we spoke for you, and through you we forced out demons and did many miracles. Then I will tell them clearly, get away from me, you who do evil. I never knew you. Very harsh verse. We don't expect this verse. And many people, when they read the passage, they avoid this passage. And many people, those who are preachers and teachers, I have seen them, that they don't like to preach from this passage because it speaks reality. It speaks that one day we are going to stand in front of the Creator and we are going to give the account of our lives. Many people, they avoid. And surprisingly, I also did not like to preach from this passage. My text was different. And I was thinking to preach on some other text. But I don't know, somehow God was kept on showing me this passage. And he wanted to learn from this passage. He wanted to teach me personally that what way you should go. And that is the reason I have chosen this passage. And if we see Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. It is describes a sermon on Mount. Jesus gives the teaching on Mount, and then it is called Sermon on Mount. And he closes chapter 7, and he gives us the encouragement to be in his way. He encourages to choose the right way, narrow way, to be in him. And he gives so many examples there. And by saying he goes further and he says about false prophets, that false prophets will come and then we have to be aware about it. These days, many ministries have come up, many churches have come up, and every people have different theology, every people have different doctrines, and whoever comes, they just take the one word from the Bible, and then they started preaching and teaching. And we think that, many people are coming, and we are giving the good news to them, and they all are saved. No, we are making them in dangerous way. Means we are playing with their lives. We are destroying their lives by doing that. We have to understand what Bible it is. It is like a word of God. From first book to last book, it reveals his plan. We have to tell people that God's redemption plan, who is God and why God has sent Jesus Christ to us and why the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. This is the redemption plan. We just don't take one word here and there and we just make them people happy. No, it is not the way. This is God's word, and we should not play with people's life and our own life. And it is saying Matthew chapter 24:24 that many false messiah will come. Many false teachers will come and they will do many greater signs and miracles. And many of us who are believers or who claim themselves that we know God will also be attracted towards them by thinking that, they are from God. But ultimately, in reality, they are not from God. Many may go away from God's way. This is not my focus about making teaching or talking about false prophets. My focus is today, this morning, is what are we going to choose? Narrow way or broad way? It's really difficult. Many of you know the hiking trip, and many of you would have done hiking trip also. When we do hiking trip, we have to choose the way. You know, we have choices. Should we go to paved road, or should we take the wild path where all stones, mud, plants and trees and everything comes? It is lengthy, means it is long way. We may feel difficult. We have to have, sometimes when we commit ourselves to God, we have to take decisions. We have to take like certain sacrifices we have to make. We have to be very dedicated. We have to be so committed to that. And it is not easy. It is not easy. And if you see that Mark chapter 10, if I'm not wrong, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 23, I believe, that one person, he's so impressed with God, Jesus' work, means Jesus has performed all miracles, all great signs, and he was teaching people. And this person was so much encouraged, so much impressed, that he comes to Jesus and says that, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to be your follower. And Jesus says that to him, that you go and sell your all possessions, all property, and come back to me and follow me. It is very difficult. And that person didn't turn up. And it may happen to us. But it is not selling the possessions. It is giving the priority in our lives. Where are we today? Like, we are giving priority to him in our daily lives. Whenever we want to choose the right or wrong, are we able to decide the right decision? Are we able to take the right decision? Are we able to take the commitment? Are we able to take stand for God? This is what it means here. And not only that, but Mark 8:34, in narrow way means you say no to yourself. The pleasing and the fun and the all the pleasures, you have to say no and say yes to God, yes to Jesus. I don't know, have you heard about Graham Stearns? Anyone of you have heard about Graham Stearns? Graham Stearns, his name is, his full name was Graham Stuart Stearns, and he was Australian Christian missionary, and he was working in India along with his family. He was not alone there in India, he was with his family there. And it so happened that he had like two sons and one daughter and wife. They were all there in India, and he was burnt alive. Not only he, but he was burnt alive along with his two kids. One was Philip, age 10 years. And the second kid was Timothy, and his age was 6. And they were burnt alive on 23rd of January 1999. They were God's people. They were preaching to and teaching in India. They were serving for God, and in front of all the people, their lives were taken. They were burnt alive. And his wife was there. She was speechless. She didn't know that what to say and how to say, how to react. She didn't know. She didn't complain to God that, God, he was my husband and he was serving for you, and you have killed him. What did he do wrong that you have taken his life? And my two kids, they were only 10 years and 6 years, and they were not even knowing the world, and you have taken their lives too. She did not complain. She did not question. Many of us, we thought in India, many people in all worldwide people thought that now Graham's wife, Her name is Gladys. Gladys will leave the India and she will go back to Australia and she will live another life. But on that day, she committed herself. She decided that, God, I want to serve you. And till you want me to be in India, I will be here. And she was serving there. Though she lost her two kids and her husband, she was there in India. And she was there till 2004. She served in India. Life is not easy. it asks a sacrifice, you know. She sacrificed these people, this, her own family members. But she said that whatever will happen, I will follow you. The world may leave me, the people may leave me, or whatever may happen, but the way, the call you have given me, I will not leave you. And she decided to be there. And many times we have that choice, you know. In verses 13 and 14, this Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, God says about the two paths, narrow path or broad path. Narrow path, it is difficult. But broad path, it is very easy. Very easy. And he gives some examples like imaginary vision, like a bad tree, good tree, bad fruit, good fruits, and grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles, and all this comparison he gives. And he comes to the further, and he says that there are two kind of people. Some people, they want to go on Broadway, and some people, they want to walk on the narrow way. It is really difficult, but when last day comes, last day, he said about judgment. When time will come, when they have to come to me, and then they will say to me that, you know, I have prophesied many things on your names. I have healed many peoples. I have done so much miracles, so many miracles, and I have led many people to you. And God will say that, you go away from me. I don't know. I don't know you personally. This morning, we have to think about our lives. We have to take that decision about narrow way or broad way. Broad way is always easy. Many people like to go through broad way because it is broad way. Many people, they walk through it. And when you go through broad way, no one will say no to you. Everyone will say, yes, yes, you can do. You are happy, you do it. You do it. But you know that you are encouraging people. We are encouraging people to go through the Broadway. But first Thessalonians, I think 1:8 says that result is destruction. We don't like to say no to people. We don't like. Many times we are scared. Why we are scared to take narrow way? Because we are afraid, we are scared about the reality. That last day, because it says the last day it happens, and when we are scared about that last day, when God will call us, where are we? And that's the reason we don't want to take that broad way. We want to be enjoy this life, and whatever will happen next life, we don't want to bother about it now. We want to have fun. We have to have all joy and everything this life. But we don't want to take narrow way. And sometimes, because I had that opportunity, and then I wanted to decide that should I choose my friends and family and my relatives, or should I go to God? And I know that because of my decision, many friends have left me. Many family members have left me. But God, whom I started believing in him, he never left me. I left him many times. I have gone away many times. I have gone away from him many times. But in his grace and mercy, he did not leave me. He was with me. He is with me. And his word says that till your life ends, I will be with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. And this morning, this is our time to take the decision. You know, we have to think about our salvation with fear and trembling. This is not easy. This is not easy. It so happened that I got the opportunity to watch one Christian movie clip. And I still remember that movie clip, and I want to share with you. Because that movie clip was it was 10 to 15 minutes it was. And it goes like that. That one girl was there, and she was in her early 30s. But in very young age, she got fame, and she was so popular. She was well-educated. She got good education. She was wealthy, healthy, and she had so much wealth. and she was so popular, she was so famous. And it was like people wanted to be like her. It was like a people's dream to live life like her. And she was there. And one day what happens that one guy comes to meet her. And then a security guard says to her that someone is there to see you. And that girl says that she thought he might be here to take some donation from me. Or he's so impressed with my life that he's here to see me, to find out that how I got this all famous, how I become famous and popular. And she says, okay, you send him. And this guy comes, and she asks that, why are you here? And this guy says that, I am prophet. God has sent me to tell you that your life is on earth, is going to over in certain days. Movie says the clear date and month and everything, and it says that 7 p.m. on this day, this month, this year, you are going to die. And that's the reason God has sent me to tell you that this is the time you repent. You come from your wicked ways and come to me, and you ask forgiveness for all your sins and accept me as your personal savior. And this girl says that how it is possible, because I'm not even 30, I'm in my early 30s. And I have everything. I have good health, good wealth. Nothing will happen to me. If something will happen, my wealth will save me, because I'm healthy so far. And if something will happen, my wealth can save me. So how I believe that you are from God? And she gets so angry. And she says that you get out from here. And she calls her friends and you know all the colleagues and everyone. And then they just makes him to get out from her office. But then she started thinking in her mind that why this unknown person, stranger person, comes to me and says that my life will be taken away from the earth. She keeps on. She cannot enjoy the days because back of her mind, she kept on thinking about it. And her friends and relatives, family said that ignore him, because he might be like kidding with you, or like, so you don't worry about him. And this girl also, but she cannot, that words are keep on coming to in front of her. And then she tries to read Bible, she tries to pray, but she cannot. In her ego, she cannot touch Bible and she cannot pray. And it so happened that the day comes when that prophet said that this day your life will be taken. She cancels all her plans. She's supposed to go for a trip, and she cancels her trip. And her family and friends says that, don't worry, we will be with you. And she thought that someone might be from my family or friends, they may kill me. So she said, no, I don't want to be with anyone. I want to be alone in my house. I don't want anyone. And then she stays there. Days goes. She could not sleep. And then the morning she gets up, she started keep on watching the clock. Clocks going slowly, it goes further. And then it was like 5 minutes to seven. In her heart, she got so happy that she has accomplished, she is not going to die. And she said that after 5 minutes, I'm going to tell the people, tell my family, my friends, that my life is not taken. I'm still alive and I have everything. And in 5 minutes, her house caught by fire and she was dead. That movie says that it is true. I don't know. But we are not told that when our times will come and how are we going to die. But that is the reality. That is the reality. We have to face him one day. That is the reality. I have heard 3 news about death recently. I think in 15, 20 days. One guy, he met with an accident. He was 16 years old guy. 16:1-6. One guy, he also met with an accident. He was 38 years old. And one guy, he was in US. He also died. I did not know the reason, but he was 48 to 50 years old. Who thought that they will die? They are not in the old age or anything. We can't say that, okay, I will be old and I will be dead. I don't know what will happen next minute to me. I don't know. We are not aware about our lives. We don't know. We cannot say that, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do this. No, we don't know our lives when it will be taken. And this is the time for us to think that when Jesus is coming to take us, are we willing to go? Means we will be ready for him. We heard so many messages about God is love. God is love. He loves us so much. He loves us. And he forgives who, whatever big sin. If we are big sinners also, he forgives. That's true. He forgives. He is love and he forgives. But when time will come, he is going to come back again for the judgment. That time he will not show his love. That time he will do the judgment. Because John 3:16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son, that whoever believes in him have eternal life. It is love that he sent his son for us to die. And this is the time we are living, a gracious time. And now he is going to come for second time. And that time he is not going to show his love. But that time he is going to come and do the judgment of our lives. Are we ready for that? Have you, including me, we need to think about it. We need to give him priority. We need to submit our hearts. If we are failed to him, if we have gone away from him, this is time to come back to him. Life is very short. We do not know that when it will be taken from us. When it will be taken from us. And even if we think that, okay, we will do good works, we will do all the charity works and we will help and this and that, it will save us. No. Isaiah 64:6 says that our good works are the filthy rags for him. Our good works are like a filthy rags. According to Isaiah 64:6, the criteria of entering heaven is according to Matthew 7:21. Those whoever does the will of God will enter in the kingdom of God. And not only that, but according to John 3:16 says that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son Jesus Christ, and whoever believes in him have eternal life. The criteria is that. Are we really believing in Jesus Christ? That I am a sinner and I need him. I need his blood to save me. I need his blood to cleanse me, you know. I cannot do by myself. My good work will not count me in heaven. My good works not will help me for my salvation. Only will help that, am I doing the will of God? Am I believing in the Jesus Christ? This morning, decision is up to us. No one can force you to take the decision. But we have to take decision by ourselves. And if we say that, okay, we are going to the broad way, then according to the Matthew 13:42, it says that they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And not only that, but God says that I will tell them clearly, get away from me, you who do evil. I never knew you. This morning, decision is up to us. Or are we willing to hear, according to Matthew 25:23, that well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into my kingdom. This is the time. God has kept us alive, and God has given this moment to us. We cannot boast on ourselves. We cannot. This is life given by him. And he is our creator. We cannot do anything without him, you know. The morning I get up, I say that I got up by myself. No, because it was his plan that I got up. And I do what I do is because of his grace. I don't know next moment I will be found dead. But where I will be leading, where I will be going, I don't know. And this morning, I just want to tell you, my friends, that God really loves us. And that's the reason we are alive. And this moment he has given to each one of us, including me. He has given this moment to focus on my life behind that what I have done wrong. You know, that's the reason I said in the beginning that God asked me to choose this passage, to teach me, to learn from this passage and to focus on my own life, that where am I heading? And this is what we have to decide by ourselves. No one can take decision for you, on behalf of you. We only have to take that decision by our own. It is difficult, but end of the day or end of the time, if our lives will over from this earth, that will be rewards in heaven. Thank you.